Welcome to Psychic Elephant Radio. Tonight's feature of Only the Monsters is Chapter 5, The Council. Please enjoy. The High Council's headquarters are built in Central Park on the island of Manhattan, with the cornerstone of the building being laid on Summit Rock. The building is towering and menacing, having pillars as high as you can see, with the exterior of the building being sleek and clean. They are boisterous but thoughtful when they constructed their home. In the year 2190, the High Council became so vain that they created a Council Day celebration to celebrate themselves. Agatha and her closest assistant are in Manhattan to help with preparations for the annual celebration. The week-long holiday that includes an all-day parade that runs from Wall Street to Inwood Hill Park. Agatha has her own office in the High Council headquarters as she splits her time between there and Long Island. She is looking over reports from the genetics department when her assistant, Theodore, interrupts her.
Ma'am, may I speak with you for a moment?
Agatha pauses but keeps her attention on her work.
In regards to what?
The archives team.
Agatha looks up disgustedly.
Well, what is it?
After the Granby detour, I took the liberty of having our tech department clone both incoming and outgoing messages from their accounts.
And?
Well, nothing suspicious in the outgoings. But they both have been receiving unusual messages, both from unknown addresses.
As we all do, what do the messages say?
They are encrypted. The techs are working on it now.
Well, they are checking in as scheduled from the proper locations. So for now, all is well. Keep me posted if anything changes and we know what the messages say.
Theodore nods and sort of bows as he starts to exit the room.
Now please go. I must meet with the council about this outlandish holiday.
She shakes her head as Theodore exits her office. The High Council consists of seven elders responsible for shaping society over the past two centuries. 1,500-year-old Dimitri is the eldest and most powerful known creature on Earth, an ancient Strigoi vampire originally from rural Romania. The enigmatic Josephine is believed to be at least 1,200, but her true age and possibly real name is unknown. She is a powerful vampire from South America. Shapeshifters Dahlia and Tobias, known to all Wahinas as Mother and Father, are the oldest shifters on the Council. They are 1,200 and 1,100 years old, respectively. Mother and Father are believed to have been originally from Morocco. Ambrose, an 830-year-old werecat from an unknown part of Europe, is the third and final shapeshifter. Often quiet and reflective, Ambrose takes his role on the Council quite seriously. Preferring adventure on the high seas, or exploring the Himalayan mountains, 950-year-old Welch-born Camille is the second youngest Strigoi on the council. Langston, the youngest at 800, is the newest addition who replaced Sebastian after his unexpected passing. The council relies heavily on dozens of trusted advisors like Agatha. They assist with day-to-day happenings and spearhead projects such as the archives and legacies. They are constantly improving the new world. Agatha enters the council main chamber. The center of the space is a large elevated table where the seven sit discussing the excitement surrounding the holiday.
We mustn't allow Sebastian's tragic passing to overshadow the holiday. I feel as if we should possibly extend the celebrations.
Don't be ridiculous, you Strigoi with your lavishness.
I must agree with Dahlia, dear Dimitri. I believe it would send mixed messages if we deviated from the norm. We can't have everyone thinking we are worried. We must stay the course.
We already take a substantial risk opening Manhattan to the public for the parade. 24 hours is plenty. Any more than that would be unwise.
Yes, but as Sebastian's replacement here on the council, it might be a good way to pay tribute to him.
Ambrose nods and agrees with Langston and Dimitri.
We are keeping it the same as every other year. End of discussion.
Agatha uncharacteristically smirks a bit.
Thank you for joining us, Agatha. We were hoping to discuss a few things with you.
Is the archives project going smoothly? It's always so good to see you, my dear.
So good to see you too.
Dimitri has always been like a father figure to Agatha.
The team is ahead of schedule.
Theodore did mention there was a slight problem with them. A bit of defiance of sorts?
It won't be a problem again.
Very good.
Is the Council Guard prepared for the celebration?
Agatha gestures to the hallway for Baron Fletcher, the Strigoi commander of the Council Guard, born in Boston in 1750, and a voluntary participant in every war since 1800. Baron Fletcher is a storied character. In 2049, he led the campaign turning large portions of the US armed forces to the Council's personal army. He stands broad-shouldered, 6'8" and missing his left eye and two fingers.
We have a battalion of our finest soldiers stationed at the bridge, and several platoons along the parade route, plus the fail-safes we have set in place around your tower.
Excellent, thank you.
Baron Fletcher sort of bows as he turns and exits the room.
As you can see, we are well prepared for tomorrow.
The gates open the next morning, as thousands of Strigoi and shapeshifters flood the once busy streets of Manhattan. The parade prepares to walk the length of the island as soon as the sun sets. It always ends with a massive fireworks display just before dawn. There's food vendors for the shifters and Strigoi who still partake in mobile synth labs offering special celebration blends, along with live music and dancing. Agatha, along with the council, watch the parade from the high tower in Central Park. Float after float goes past, each with something unique. From giant papier-mâché statues of the council to plays acting out the council unifying the territories or light-hearted battle scenes between monsters. Each float proudly waves the High Council flag. The crowds cheer and party and applaud for them. The council is sitting atop their tower on a balcony, drinking it all in. The fireworks erupt as soon as the parade ends, lighting the sky for nearly an hour. As the sun begins to rise, the creatures begin exiting Manhattan, and by noon, the crowds are gone. The Council Guard sends out sweep teams to make sure there are no stragglers, and maintenance begins their cleanup. By nightfall, it's like it never even happened.
What a beautiful ending to the week of celebration, and yet another peaceful year. Well done. Give my regards to Baron Fletcher.
Agatha smiles and nods.
Thank you, and I will be sure to do that.
There is one more thing we wanted to talk to you about.
Yes, what is it?
We feel that your abilities are wasted on Long Island. We'd like you to come work here full time, beginning immediately.
Theodore, of course, will be joining you here.
What about the current projects I'm heading? And what about Judith?
Judith will remain in Long Island. As for your current projects, you'll continue to work on them, along with joining a new one.
I'm honored. I look forward to it.
We'll send for your things tomorrow.
Dimitri looks at Agatha and smiles proudly. The council retires to their separate chambers for the night, and Agatha goes to her now full-time office. She sits and smiles a bit over the great news. There's a knock on the door from her assistant, Theodore. He has a troubled look on his face.
Ma'am, the technicians were able to break the encryption. We know what the messages said.
He hands her a printed piece of paper and she reads it.
How many people have seen this?
Just me and the tech. Nathan. Nathan Jones.
I need you to get me Baron Fletcher. Have him meet me in the tech department.
Theodore nods and is off to find Baron Fletcher. After Baron Fletcher and Agatha visit the tech department and have a chat with Nathan, Baron Fletcher walks her to the new apartment.
How would you like me to proceed?
We need this kept quiet for now, but have some of the Northwest cells on standby. We'll see how our two historians behave, and if they deviate, action will be required. Make sure they keep a close eye on them.
Any idea who is sending them?
I'll take care of it. The investigation must be handled delicately. Delicate is not your specialty.
Agatha uncharacteristically laughs.
No, ma'am.
This very well could mean nothing. All just a waste of time. Quite possibly they never even read them or discounted them as spam. But I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Baron. Inform me if anything unusual happens.
Theodore is waiting for Agatha in her apartment's lobby.
Should I inform the council there may be a problem with the archives team?
No, not yet. We need not bother them with worries like this. We will handle it on our own.
Theodore smiles and gets a jab in.
And you don't want to jeopardize your new promotion?
Before the last word is out of his mouth, Agatha snatches Theodore by the throat.
I know you said something to Langston. And if I find out you told them anything else, you'll be joining your friend Nathan at the bottom of the river. Am I clear?
Theodore is struggling to breathe and gasps for air as he mutters.
Yes, ma'am.
Agatha releases him and he sinks to the floor.
Good, now we need to find out who is sending these messages.
Theodore lifts himself off the floor, rubbing his throat, and says sheepishly,
Of course. I will go for a swim and ask Nathan.
First thing tomorrow, find out who chose these two for the project. We'll start there.
Have they checked in lately?
Yes, they've been punctual, not deviating from the itinerary and just finished in Montreal. I told Baron Fletcher to have his men keep an eye on them.
For the next several days, Agatha is kept busy with council meetings, as she's now co-heading the Legacies project. The Archives project is back on track and running smoothly. As long as they remain incident-free, she can concentrate on helping the council with Legacies, a far more prestigious position. With Judith back in Long Island, now working for Wellness, most Archives responsibilities have fallen to Theodore. His investigation into David and Melissa's silent benefactor continues to hit dead ends. But Agatha is too busy to take her frustrations out on him, so he continues to search. The High Council is convening in their main chamber, quite eager to teach a new generation. This will be their first opportunity since the humans went extinct. Langston, Agatha, and a head scientist sit down to discuss the Legacies project. Their new breakthroughs are extremely promising.
So they'll be blank slates, you say?
Yes, in a manner of speaking, they'll essentially be cloned humans, which is a continuation of the synthetic blood project. Then we must splice either shapeshifter or Strigoi DNA to the clones. Their first memories will be of waking up not knowing who, what, or where they are. Thus, they can be molded in any way you see fit.
So you're telling me there will be humans running around again?
No, that's not possible. They are merely vessels for the DNA. Hypothetically, of course, we honestly can't be completely sure of the results. This is cutting-edge work we are doing. This project was slated for centuries from now.
Your lack of confidence concerns me.
I assure you, the good doctor is merely being humble. He quite honestly has a bit of a reputation around the lab of being a pessimist.
And how close are you?
Agatha gives the good doctor a hateful look.
We are making great progress. We have them working double and triple shifts.
How close?
At least 2 years, closer to three.
At least.
Well, that's not too bad, all things considered. That gives your archives team some time. How are they faring?
Any more detours?
They're making good time, Dimitri.
Weeks pass with no problems from Archives. They keep interviewing, reporting on time, and adhering to the itinerary. Both Legacies and Archives are performing like well-oiled machines, and Agatha can't help but feel a bit of relief. Agatha meets with Tobias and Dimitri in his private office.
You now believe the Legacies project may be operational in 18 months?
Conservatively, yes, quite possibly a year.
And what of your head scientist? He certainly wasn't confident about the time frame, or if it even will work for that matter.
He was wrong and realized the error in his thoughts. He's more confident now than ever.
I would still like him to weigh in on this as well at some point.
Of course.
Outstanding.
What has changed to sway the mind of even the most pessimistic?
Truly, it's the genetics department. They have made some incredible progress of late. Quicker and efficient cloning with more stable synthetics.
And you have been pushing them to work harder and make sure they meet deadlines faster. Well done. I knew it was a wise choice moving you here permanently.
Yes, well done. You are so crucial to our success.
As the accolades fade, weeks turn to months. Agatha settles in, now fully in charge of both Legacies and Archives. David and Melissa have been incident-free since Granby. She entrusts Theodore with an even more active role with Archives. Agatha checks in on Theodore, who is working on his computer and checking on reports. Theodore's office is on the lower levels. A dozen lower-level offices would fit in Agatha's alone. The levels are reserved for clerical workers and administrative assistants. Certainly not for someone running his own project, or so he thinks.
Everything going smoothly?
as smooth as it could go in an office smaller than a UV prison cell.
With archives, you twit.
Oh, yeah. It's going surprisingly well. They are nearly finished with the most recent leg. A scheduled report is due in Madison any minute now.
Excellent. And from there?
Minneapolis, then Winnipeg. Then south to Montana.
Agatha nods and walks towards the door.
My apologies, ma'am. It seems there was no need for the overreaction. You were right. It was probably just a strange coincidence, or they just never bothered to read them.
Still, report anything out of the ordinary.
Yes, ma'am.
And I see you've still had no luck with the simple task of who chose these two for the project.
I sent you my findings weeks ago. I suppose I should have delivered them to Legacies, which I could have done if I weren't so busy with archives.
Agatha storms out and slams the door as Theodore smirks. Agatha hurriedly walks towards her office complex. She repeatedly hits the elevator button, and the doors open to a familiar face, Baron Fletcher. He stands stoic, gripping a large folder filled with paperwork.
I was on my way to see you.
Ah, yes, your monthly report. Go on, then. No time better than the present.
The advisors often screen the reports before they are given to the High Council. This allows the Council to concentrate on bigger issues. Baron opens the folder and clears his throat before reading all the reported incidents from the past month.
There was an attack at Outpost 7. A small group of the Mistaken, heavily armed with a few chupacabras. They got away with some synth and a few chips. Two of ours were killed. Low-level workers, so insignificant losses. I'll send some men out to track them. Let's see. Yet another Wendigo stampede reported.
Report that to either Tobias or Ambrose.
The elevator doors open to Agatha's floor.
Some feuding Sasquatch up north.
He shrugs his shoulders and they begin walking.
A few other things, but nothing eventful. The report isn't the only reason I was coming to see you.
Should I be concerned?
Well, Madison, Wisconsin isn't too far from Chicago, ma'am.
I'm well aware.
I have troops in Kalamazoo. They will intercept if needed.
Agatha nods.
You still have someone following them, correct?
Of course. If they see them head south on I-90, I'll activate the Kalamazoo cell.
I do not have time for this right now. Terminate on site.
Yes, ma'am.
Baron Fletcher walks Agatha to her office.
Any more on who sent the messages?
Yes, according to Theodore, he sent me his findings. We will see. My patience is wearing thin with that one.
Despite her anger with Theodore of late, she trusts his work. He is highly intelligent and rarely disappoints Agatha. She logs onto her OmniWeb account and her smug smirk turns to a look of sheer disappointment within seconds.
Unfortunately, we may have a lead.
Baron Fletcher looks a bit confused.
Unfortunately.
Flustered, Agatha quickly shuts down her OmniWeb hub and walks towards the door. She turns to Baron.
I need to approach him privately. I at least owe him that much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Tune in next week for Chapter 6, The Diversion. If you liked what you heard, please consider giving us a good rating. Check out our Facebook page, Psychic Elephant Radio. For more content, please visit our Patreon. Opening theme song by Pygmy Moose. All content property of Psychic Elephant Radio.